These are the Keshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Keshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hey, everybody. It's show 16, podcast number 16 called the Keshi Tapes. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan, and my partner is...
Favaz, Keshi Guy. Hi, U-Man.
Hi. Coming off the heels of the Ozzy Osbourne
podcast. Yeah, we had a lot of downloads for that one. Yeah. That was a funny one.
That was fun
It's difficult to follow that one up.
It is.
Because he was so damn funny.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, this one is not as funny. Right now, it's Joe Perry of Aerosmith.
Yeah. He's a pretty serious guy, generally, isn't he? I mean, things I've ever remembered him doing never seemed very exciting.
Yeah, he is pretty serious. And this is on the phone. I've had him in person, though. The last time Aerosmith, I guess, was in town, he came in the studio, and man, that was such a big deal. I mean, everybody wanted to meet him, get a picture with him.
Sure.
It was like 2009. But this interview that we're going to do is from 2003, and it's when I believe they were on tour with Kiss. Do you remember that out at the amphitheater when Aerosmith and Kiss
kind of
toured together?
Yeah, I went to that show.
Crazy. Yeah,
I was there. That show, yeah.
So, you know, they're two bands that know each other very well, go way back, and Joe called in, and, you know, I've interviewed him like four times maybe, but this one that we're going to do today is from 2003.
95 Real Rock Radio, that's Jane's Diction, their latest call, Just Because, it's Favaz, and we got him on the phone, as Steven Tyler likes to say, Joe Effin' Perry. Joe Perry, good afternoon, man.
How you doing?
Doing fine. I was just telling the listeners that you called right when I started playing Xanadu from Rush, and it was a 10-minute song, and I didn't want to make you wait. So anyway, Joe Perry and, of course, the guys with Kiss and Saliva in town this Sunday for the Keshi birthday party. It's the 36th anniversary of Keshi, and this is a big one, and, of course, this tour has been rolling on. Joe, has this thing been going okay? Is it everything that you thought it would be, or surprises or anything along the way?
Actually, we had high hopes for it, and it's definitely lived up to that. We thought it was going to be a really good show, and people would really have a good time, and that's exactly what's happening. You know?
This is Joe Perry before he was passing out on stage and things like that.
Way before.
Yeah.
Way before.
And really,
I don't know why I brought that up. I'm just being a jerk.
And Steven Tyler always says Joe fucking Perry.
Yeah.
That's how he entered. So,
everything seems to have been going on time, and you know, it's just been a great show. You know, it's fun touring with the guys from Kiss. You know, we've known them for a long time and since the beginning, and it's great.
Now, because you've known each other so long, are there egos involved here at all? Has there been any, like, you know, little bitty run-ins, big run-ins, or whatever, as far as time goes? Or
well, everybody has such a huge ego; we're all equal, so it works out fine.
I see. Of course, Aerosmith is headlining.
There's got to be huge egos there. I'm sorry. He can say what, I mean, he was joking there, but between those two bands, you know, I'm sure they get along, but at the same time, giant ass egos.
Yeah. What would he and Gene Simmons be talking about when they're sitting around? Just, I mean, their
business, how much money they have.
Yeah. I mean, what else would they talk about other than money?
Yeah.
You know,
back in the day, it was different.
And Joe would probably try to change the subject matter, but Gene would keep taking it back to, is Gene Simmons a Kiss? I want to talk about money.
Let's talk about Kiss urinal cakes.
Every night. Well, Joe, I was thinking today, you guys together, it's just mind-blowing that both of you will be on stage and stuff like that. Is there any other band that you can think of that Aerosmith could do this with to have the same kind of punch? I mean, I'm not talking about the Rolling Stones. I'm talking maybe another American band or something like that. Is there anybody else that could compare to an Aerosmith Kiss thing with
Well,
you?
I don't know. It's tough to say because, you know, we've brought out, you know, we've gone out with a bunch of other bands, but I don't know if anybody can, you know, has the kind of draw that Kiss does. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't look at it like we're headlining. I mean, we're not. I mean, it's a co-headline bill. We just happen to be going on second.
I never thought that should have been a co-headlining thing.
Never.
No.
Aerosmith all the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what's funny is both bands in 2019 are touring. Kiss will be here in September, and, you know, Aerosmith is supposed to be going out this year.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything yet, but they've got a few dates booked here and there, but they're supposed to be, you know, going out on an American tour.
And it kind of speaks to what you were talking about earlier about egos. I mean, Aerosmith obviously didn't let their egos get in the way of that.
No, he just said that they go on second every night.
Yeah.
So that means we're the headliners.
Oh, wait, wait. He said every night?
Yeah, he said every night.
Oh.
If you want to back it up a little bit, but I'm pretty sure.
No, I believe what you said.
Yeah, I think he said every night.
Oh, okay.
They go on second.
But just the fact that they were co-headlining.
Is a big deal. I mean, yeah. I remember being really excited about it. Although every time I see Kiss, and we talked about this when we did the Gene Simmons podcast, after 20 minutes, I'm done.
Yeah.
I really am.
Right, right.
You know, Aerosmith's a different story.
Yeah. Well, you know, how many of those Kiss songs, you know, they're 3-minute songs for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, they can do 10 songs in 30 minutes. You know, most of the catalog is done or...
Right, but Paul Stanley says the same thing every time he comes to town.
Yes,
He's always got to talk about the kite fly. And, you know, we were here in 1974. Woo! You know, I mean, it's just, it's just old.
Their stage presentation is very stilted, the Kisses, when they're talking.
He'll do it again this year, I guarantee you.
Yeah, he's not necessarily, I don't know, it just seems too show busy or something.
Yes.
When Paul's talking, you know.
Yeah.
But, Steven Tyler's a whole different thing.
No.
Steven Tyler can communicate with the audience. He's really good.
It's a tough act to follow, you know?
Sure.
But I don't know. There aren't that many American bands out there that can do what we're doing. We've always, you know, loved the idea of going out with AC/DC. But they always seem to be on another schedule. You know, it's a tough line.
And they're not American.
But that would be a great show, wouldn't it?
Woo! Absolutely.
Woo!
So they've always wanted to do it with AC/DC, just haven't been able to ever do it.
That would be.
Yeah.
These kind of tours, you know. But I think if you ask me who would we like to tour with, AC/DC would definitely be at the top of the list.
Wow, that would be incredible.
I think a lot of bands would say that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, even without Brian Johnson, if it's Axl, they still probably want to do it. Today,
that AC/DC show was spectacular at the Enterprise Center last time they were here.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them there before. That was one of the last shows with Brian Johnson.
Yeah,
we were lucky.
We're very lucky to see that. Yeah.
We're talking to Joe Perry. Has this thing logistically, Joe, been working out as far as the production goes? Because I can just imagine the production guys working, and I'm fully aware of all the equipment and how many trucks and stuff like that. That's been going smooth, too?
Yeah, well, that took a long time to sort out. You know, I mean, the actual the planning of this has been in the works a good, 3-4 months before the first show. And then it was a while to get everything running smooth. I mean, loading in, loading out, and all that. You know, it was really
And how much of that did you do, Joe?
Can you imagine that, though? Yeah, he did. He shows up, plugs in, and plays. But between the, especially Kiss's production, you've got Kiss and Aerosmith, and people don't really think about behind the scenes, the production and the stagehands and the road crew and everything they got. That must have been a nightmare.
Oh,
he said it was in the beginning. You know,
can you see Gene and Paul in the gigantic heeled shoes hauling equipment in and out of the place?
In the old days, they did.
Yeah, in the old days, they probably took the shoes
Not
off.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
a chess game. Trying to figure it out to get everything running smoothly, but that's like it's technical, and it's a thing they solve. That was probably the hardest part of getting this thing together. I mean, as far as like the bands and the egos and all that, we've been in this business too long to let that stuff get in the way.
True. Aerosmith, Kiss, and Saliva once again. Gates open at 5:30 on Sunday at the UMB Bank Pavilion with Saliva going on 7-ish, something like that. Kiss in the middle and then Aerosmith at the end. Now, Aerosmith will have their new record out of the first of the year, Joe. We're well aware. It's called Honkin' on Bobo. To me, that title sounds like a Steven Tyler penned thing.
I hated that title.
I don't really care about the title. I don't even remember the album. I don't even remember what's on it.
No. Title is just dumb.
Honking on Bobo.
Is it true, or did you come up with that?
No, that's just an old expression from music.
I always remember being sexual.
I thought it was honk on Bobo.
Yeah,
come on.
Somewhere back in the 30s, you know.
I mistook it for something else then.
Well, you know, I think it's like the it's like a Rorschach test, you know what I mean? It's kind of interesting to see how people interpret it, you know.
So tell us about the new record. We know it's blues based and all that stuff, and I know you're like in the mixing process with Jack Douglas and all that, but how's it going? What's it going to sound like?
And Jack Douglas produced what, all their albums?
The old school stuff.
Yeah, many of them.
Sweet, the you know, Toys in the Attic and all that. Yeah, that's what why they went with him.
Yeah,
you know. Well, it's going really well. You know, we really didn't want to go out there and make a blues record in the sense of, well, here we are crusading the blues. You know what I mean? It's certainly a there are some songs that sound traditional, you know, and what people think of as traditional blues. And then there are probably the majority of the songs sounds more like an Aerosmith rock record.
Cool.
So I think that's the part that kept us excited going through it. I mean, there are a lot of people that do blues, so-called, you know, that are kind of more traditionalists, you know, and we just didn't want to do that kind of a record. You know, we wanted to make it something that would be contemporary and you know, in some ways, you know, kind of back to the basics, but also kind of very modern sounding.
You know,
Aerosmith.
He's as boring as the record was right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody want Aerosmith to go in that direction? Anybody care about Aerosmith going in that direction? What's the track listing on Honking on Bobo? Oh. I mean,
I don't remember. That's the thing. I mean, this brings up a whole question. Do we really care if classic artists come out with new music?
Yeah.
Could it be good? You know, are they right? They're not going to be writing about the same things.
Yeah. Even in 2003, I mean, that's when this interview took place. Even in 2003, by that time, just not that interested in anything new from these classic rock artists anymore. And that's not showing disrespect for the artists. We just love what they've already given us, and there's no more room for anything else, really, because their catalog is so deep.
You don't need to play. Nobody wants to hear anything new.
Absolutely not. They can do 40 songs from their old catalog, and I'd be fine. You did it. It's fantastic. And that's a three-hour show, you know?
Yes.
You don't have to do anymore.
I'm looking at the songs on that. The one that I guess that we played was Baby, Please Don't Go.
Barely remember that.
But, Roadrunner,
How many times has that song been remade, Baby, Please Don't Go?
You Gotta Move, The Grind, I'm Ready, Temperature. I mean, I'm assuming these, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who cares about that record?
Yeah, and I know all artists, you know, like to go back to their roots a lot of times and do those things, and it's self-gratifying for them. But for us, the public, who have to buy the material, I mean, the results are there. Look at, the blues albums done by any rock artist, really. Even Eric Clapton himself. I mean, and there's a guy who was, you know, if anybody could pull off the blues, it's Eric Clapton.
Yeah, right,
and
exactly.
I don't think those were really big sellers for him either.
No. Want to hear Sweet Emotion. Want to hear Walk This Way.
Yeah.
Dream On.
Yeah, it's like going to the art museum to see a famous artist do his stuff, and they didn't put the good stuff out.
Good analogy, John.
Thanks.
Wow.
I've never been to the art museum in my life.
So it's kind of an amalgam of all those things.
You have a release month yet for this? We know it's after the first of the year. Do you have any
idea
yet?
It's probably going to be, realistically, it's going to be March, but we'd like to have at least a single out, middle of January.
January, yeah. And, of course, we just heard also that the Aerosmith Kiss Tour is going to go indoors, so this thing is going to go out for a while.
Yeah.
It's always dangerous to have Kiss perform outdoors because if it rains, the makeup runs.
Right. Well, but, yeah. But they play.
I'm kidding.
Never mind.
I wonder how the humidity, the heat and the humidity handles the makeup with the sweating and the face. And
I bet you they've got that makeup that doesn't run.
That doesn't run.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. The good stuff.
The really good stuff.
Is there something that Aerosmith hasn't done yet that you, like, in the back of your mind, a certain place you want to play or just do something? God, you guys have done everything. You've accomplished everything that I'm sure that you would want to accomplish. But what's left for you guys to do besides put out records and tour?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, there seems to be new things coming along all the time. There are different opportunities to play in different places. Some of them I haven't thought of yet, and that's what I think keeps it interesting. I mean, if you had told me a year before we did the Super Bowl that we were going to be there doing that.
Right.
I wouldn't have thought it was going to happen, but it's one of those things that, took shape and turned out to be a great gig. So there are a lot of things like that that I can't imagine right now that if we stick around, we'll end up doing. So,
what else has transpired since then that you can think of that was big for Aerosmith?
Other than the Super Bowl, yeah. What he was just talking about?
Yeah. I mean, they've been on hiatus more than they've actually been out touring, haven't they?
Yeah, pretty much. They're one of those bands. They're like Ozzy, that when they go out on tour, they've always got some cancellations, yeah. some postponements.
Right. And that would probably be worse now that Joe has had his whatever he's dealing with. We don't know how serious it is.
But it's always Steven Tyler. Usually it's his voice, but then the last time he got, remember he fell and got hurt or whatever? I mean, there's just always something. I mean, they're old dudes, man.
Yeah. Remember the time Joe pushed him off the stage?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, was he just dancing? Was he just doing his little jig and he just stepped off the stage and fell?
It wasn't clear.
I don't think he pushed him. I don't think he pushed him.
Because they were feuding at that time.
They were, but I don't think that he pushed him. Look at you trying to stir up shit. You know, shit doesn't stir.
I know that's part of what keeps it exciting.
Wait, hold on. Shit don't stink till you stir it up, John.
And even if the animal eats grass and weeds, it still won't stink. I've tried that.
Okay. We really don't know what we're going to do next and, you know, what opportunities are going to happen. We've been talking to people about going to China and those kind of things. And it's
China.
You know, a lot of.
I don't get that. That's a Boston thing.
Yeah, that accent.
Yeah, even New York.
I like that accent.
Where they throw R's in words.
R's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
China.
Sure do.
I'm trying to think of another example. I hear them all the time doing it.
The Sox. Red Sox.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's a thing.
What ways? We're not really sure what we're going to do.
And what a luxury that is, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. We're talking to Joe Perry of Aerosmith, and I know you got to go here in a second, Joe, but how's the barbecue sauce business?
It's going good.
Tell us about it.
It's been a lot of fun, you know. It gives us something to talk about in interviews, and you know, and then I find out the names of the good local barbecue places. And
barbecue.
So I've done my job, you know.
And what's it called?
It's called Rock Your World.
Rock Your World.
Rock Your
Joe
World.
Perry Barbecue. So I've
never seen any around here. Have you?
I don't recall.
There's so many of them out there now anymore.
Yeah. It's just
when it first started, it was a big deal when these artists were doing that kind of stuff. But now, I just
get the local stuff. I get Sugar Fire, Pappy's, whatever.
I do. I still get the Super Smokers myself.
Yeah, Super Smokers.
The championship
great stuff.
Sauce.
Yes,
championship.
Great stuff. Yeah. All of it.
Is it hot? Is it spicy? Are there different flavors?
It's kind of a little. It's not too hot. It's medium.
Yeah.
I guess, and by most people's standards, you know, after it's been out, we've had it out now almost a year, and the feedback has been that it's not as hot as people expect, but it is. It's definitely spicy.
Do you do a lot of cooking?
Not that much.
Yeah.
Now and then, you know, I'm not home enough to really get into that, but there's a few things I like to make myself when I get a chance.
All right, so people be looking for the Joe Perry barbecue sauce. Joe, can't wait to see you Sunday, Aerosmith, Kiss, and Saliva. It truly will be a historic night. It's almost sold out, and it will be by that time. And thanks for letting us tag along and make it the Casey birthday party. And
yeah, that's great. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, and certainly you and your band have been a huge, huge part of it, brother, and we continue to the relationship forever and ever. So
great.
All right, man, we'll see you Sunday. Let's give some tickets away right now. Caller.
Okay. Well, let it
go. Yeah, because, well, it'll probably go. We can't play music.
11-969-1111, 1-800-842-KASHI. You'll go Sunday. And, Joe, I think we'll go out on Mama Kin. Is that all right with you
right now? That's great.
All right.
Yeah, there we go. You know, Joe Perry, so the time that I did have him in the studio, he saw Sweet Meat, which, of course, is the KASHI mascot, with the doobie hanging out of his mouth and the headphones. He knew, but before I said anything, that was the Blodwyn Pig.
Oh, did he?
Yes,
really?
He did.
Oh,
well, yes. That's
good.
He was familiar with the band. He's like, that's the Blodwyn Pig right there. I was like, wow, yeah, it is.
Well, I got a Steven Tyler story to tell. It happened on the field at Busch Stadium. Now Steven was aware of KASHI too for
sure,
many
absolutely
years.
Is
he knows about the radio station and its influence for many years in the city and how instrumental KASHI was to helping build Aerosmith's career in the Midwest here. And they had the single out there that was Oh, it was that single from the movie soundtrack.
I don't want to miss a thing.
Yes, I don't want to miss a thing. And we weren't playing it
right
here at the radio station because it was too mellow.
Too poppy.
Yes, so we never touched it. And so I don't know that he got word that we weren't playing it or whatever. But anyway, he's down on the field and he's with another radio station that's playing the song here in St. Louis. Okay.
Who was it? What station?
It was.
Do you remember?
Could have been the Arch.
Really? Who are
part? What was before the Arch? No, it was 107.7.
That's who it was. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Well, now that's Z107.7. I don't know. But,
yes.
Okay.
He was down there with them.
Okay.
And I wasn't trying to call him out or anything whatsoever. I was going to just introduce myself to Steven Tyler, say hello. I said, hi, Steven. I'm John Hewlett. I work at KC Radio, and I just want to say hello. And as soon as I said that, he kind of knew that he was with the other guys here.
Really?
And he was like, yeah, KC, yeah. And then I could sense the awkwardness. Like he didn't know what to say. And I said, yeah, I've been with the station a long time ago. I just want to say hello. And, that was it.
I guess he was just playing the card that was dealt to him. Yeah. Who cares?
No, I know.
No,
but it was just awkward.
You didn't care.
No, I didn't care.
That's what I mean. It's just like.
But the fact that he did care, though, was also interesting.
Right.
That he actually remembered. Yeah.
Joe Perry remembers a lot. I mean, even the last interview I have with him was probably just a couple years ago. And it was for the Hollywood Vampires, that band that he has right now with Alice Cooper and Johnny Depp. And at the time, Steven Tyler was putting out a country record. Do you remember that?
Do you remember that? Steven Tyler. Oh, yeah, they had a country record. Yeah. Yes.
So I asked him, and we'll have to play that interview sometime, but I asked him, I was like, is it true, Joe, that those who can, and those who can't do country? And he laughed really hard. He's like, hold on, let me put my wife on the phone. I want you to say that to her. So he puts Billy on the phone, and she's like, hi. And I'm like, hi. I was like, I just said to Joe, the thing. And she laughed, and then she was politically correct as she could be, saying, we wish Stephen the best, And they hated it.
Oh, I hated it. I thought it was the dumbest thing he could have done. What? I used to make fun of him on the air all the time about it.
Yeah.
Not that he cared or anybody, but, it was just so out of the box, and it was so, it just seemed to play up to his American Idol type run that he was trying to, make it in another genre of music somehow at age 70. It's like, come on, dude, you ain't fooling anybody. We know what you're doing. Right. It's not a political, but it's a money grab.
Yes, exactly.
All right. I don't know what else to say.
I think we're done. I think we've beaten this one to death. Isn't that a close for somebody?
That's a Corcoran thing, yes.
Hi, JC.
Well, let's wrap it up here. Thanks for listening. This is show 16 again of the KC Tapes podcast. We'll be back next week with somebody else. Until then, I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan.
Favaz, KC Guy. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Adios, my
motherfucker.
Friend. You bad.
Yep.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.